Welcome to Interviews at RKG Blog, bringing you stories from interesting people in online marketing.
Hello, this is Alan Rimkoffman from the Rimkoffman Group, and today I'm honored to be having a conversation with Harry Joyner, Harry Joyner of MarketingHeadHunter.com. How you doing, Harry?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Can you tell me what you do? Give me the elevator speech.
Yeah, sure. I'm an e-commerce recruiter specializing in multi-channel e-commerce, and I have a blog at www.ecommercerecruiter.com and a job board at www.onlineretailjobs.com.
So you help e-commerce firms place senior executives, junior executives?
I do indeed. I handle VP level searches and director and manager level searches for a variety of reasons. But, you know, to use a baseball analogy, it's kind of like the manager and director level searches are the singles and the doubles. And three or four times a year, there's an opportunity to hit home runs there with VP level searches. So it's a mixed bag.
I was reading some of your stuff online, and in 1997, you were trading frozen food. How'd you move from trading in beef to helping people find jobs?
I'm a glutton for punishment. No, I worked for my dad's company. My dad owns a commodity trading company called AJC International in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's not a small business. They've got half a dozen foreign offices, and this year they'll do $800 million in sales. It's the 10th largest privately held company in the state of Georgia. So after I graduated from business school, I went to work for my dad's company for about 7 years and wound up working for their domestic distribution subsidiary in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And while I was working up there, I had an opportunity to go into business as a marketing consultant, which appealed to me greatly. And long story short, while I was engaged on a marketing consulting assignment for a local interim CFO company that wanted to get into the staffing business, I discovered the recruiting and staffing business. I made him a bunch of money and had a moment of clarity about what I should be doing. So I just decided that I liked recruiting and the money was good and I would just stay doing it.
That's interesting. And you bring up your background in marketing. One of the things that I think is so cool about your recruiting practice is how heavily you use web marketing itself. So you're trying to fill positions in web marketing and you yourself are doing a tremendous amount of web marketing. Can you tell us how you use blogging and RSS and email, the social networks and so forth, to grow your own practice?
Yeah, that to me is actually like the luckiest break that I ever got, I think, in my entire career was the first search that I got when I went into business as a recruiter was for director of online retail for a company called Benchmark Brands in Atlanta.
Sure.
And so, yeah, and they run a website called FootSmart that's an internet retailer top 100 company, I think. So I started calling around the shop.org and DMA communities and networking with people, and I knew how to speak the language of direct-to-consumer marketing, and I think that was a little bit refreshing to them. And we just started chatting about, you know, what do you do and how do you do it, and the postcard market, what's the role of organic and paid search in the growth of your online business, and all of these different things. And I just started cherry-picking ideas that I thought were applicable for a recruiting business and bolting those tactics onto my own little marketing plan. For example, I've got a really good friend named So-Young Park, who's the director of online marketing and CRM for Musician's Friend up in Medford, Oregon. And my blog used to be called Proven Ways to Get New Customers. It was really essentially a throwback to my days as a marketing consultant. So it was like a small business marketing blog. The content was good, but it wasn't really germane to online retail. And one day I was chatting with So Young, and I said, I'd really like to improve the traffic on my blog. You know, do you have any ways that I could do that? And she said, well, you could always change the name. And I said, to what? And she said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a marketing headhunter. And she said, well, why don't you just call it Marketing Headhunter? And I said, well, that's not really very exciting to me. And she said, well, here's the thing. She said, if you call your blog whatever it is you do and people backlink to you as that thing, then when other people who need your services Google Marketing Headhunter and there are a bunch of sites on the internet that backlink to you as that, then you become the nexus of all things Marketing Headhunter on the internet. Does that make sense?
It does. So Young is a smart woman.
She's unbelievable. So it was just one of those things. So she said, do yourself a favor, she said, right now, type Marketing Headhunter into a browser bar. And I did, and I went to a website called buydomains.com, and it was available. I mean, it wasn't cheap, but, like, it was available, and she said, buy it. And I was like, well, it looks like it kind of costs a lot of money. And she said, well, how much money do you make per search? And I said, well, 20% of somebody's annual salary. And she said, Harry, the value that a domain like that will create for you over time, you know, what you'd pay for it today is lost in the rounding of that number. So she said, just as a customer acquisition thing and as a branding thing, it will credibilize you in ways that you can't possibly imagine. She said, you got to go for it. And I did, and it worked like a charm. And so based on that one little strategy that she suggested, and she's just one smart person that I talked to. I talked to hundreds of really smart people. But based on that one little thing, I was able to take that concept, and I bought managementrecruiter.com. I bought semrecruiter.com. I bought searchengineexperts.com. I own ecommerceconsulting.com. So I've got about 650 domains in my GoDaddy account. And I get an extraordinary amount of traffic just as a result of the blogs that I have that are hosted on top of those keyword-rich domains. So it works like a charm.
So you mentioned domains, not to be confused with domaining, because you're not trying to sell advertising against those. You're actually using them to generate traffic for yourself, correct?
Yeah. So, like, some of the domains that I've had have worked better than others. The national domains that I've had have worked great. For example, if you use the Aaron Wall SEO toolbar for Firefox, which is a lethal weapon for any of your listeners who may use that, it will tell you, I guess in connection with Google AdWords, it will tell you what the keyword count is or what the search count is on a per diem basis. So, for example, Management Recruiter, I think, gets between 50 and 80 inquiries a day on Google. And so my blog, managementrecruiter.com, is currently ranked second in the organics because of all the people that backlink to it. So, I mean, the national domains, the ones that aren't localized, like I own executivesearchatlanta.com, that doesn't work very well. I own Executive Search Chicago, Executive Search New York, Executive Search, you know, a bunch of different cities. Those don't work very well because of the way Google is presenting local search results. But the national ones, the way Google presents those results, the strategy works like a charm, which is, you know, lucky for me.
Can you share a little bit more about your blogging strategy?
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, blogging is a means to an end. It's not an end unto itself. So for me, blogging's not like a vanity thing. I don't do it to express myself. I do it to get traction in search engines. The thing of it is, when I blog at marketingheadhunter.com, I have an editorial platform for that. I have a list, at least in my head, of things that I will blog about and things that I won't blog about. I won't blog about my cat. I won't blog about the weather, all that, you know,
yep,
college football scores.
Yep.
But I will blog about e-commerce, about marketing, digital media, careers, right, and the slings and arrows of growing and developing a career in e-commerce. All that stuff I'll write about. And what happens is, according to, I think, Quantcast or Compete.com, 90% of my traffic right now is coming from search engines. So it's what Quantcast calls passers-by. So the trick with me is I don't post that often. But what I do post is keyword-rich, number one. I've got what I hope is a teachable point of view on marketing and e-commerce and careers in those areas. And I produce stuff that people are going to backlink to. And because of that, you know, I get a lot of traction in search engines.
Moving off the marketing and over to the recruiting, what are the positions, the level, the titles, the skill sets? What's in the most demand today that you see?
I would say probably directors and managers. And the reason I would say that is this. It occurred to me about a year ago that, big moment of clarity here, there are 500 companies in the Internet Retailer Top 500,
so
right?
500 VPs of e-commerce.
Yeah, pretty much. Some of those brands are so small, you know, that they don't have a VP person there that's a director. But for all intents and purposes, let's just call it 500 VPs of online retail that matter,
sure,
in the United States. And let's say, I'm going to use round numbers, that the average tenure as a VP of e-commerce is somewhere between 2 and 3 years,
yep,
right? So you divide 500 by 2.5, you know, and what you see there is that every year, you know, a certain number of chairs become available.
Sure.
And that's not really enough to sustain the executive search activity for my industry, right? I'm just one recruiter out of there are hundreds out there that are trying to, you know, weasel into this space.
Yep.
So what it amounts to is that I probably get 10 VP level searches a year, but let's call it, let's be conservative, between 8 and 10 VP level searches a year. Of those 8, I'll probably close 4. To pay the rest of the bills, I've got to do manager and VP, manager and director level searches, and, you know, there's a lot of satisfaction in those for me. And there's a lot of demand in there for those as well.
What are the tips that you give to companies looking to hire e-commerce talent?
Well, I would say the first thing is, you know, understand that the best candidates are very business-oriented, and they want to see the online channel as a means to an end, not an end unto itself, right? So the end that I'm talking about is greater customer intimacy. So if the candidate gets a sense that the online channel is just an afterthought, then they're not going to work there. Because, you know, at the end of the day, A players want to go where they're going to matter. So it's essential that the online channel really matter to the company and that they embrace it, that internally everybody is on board with online and that they completely embrace it and want to see it succeed. And by the way, this is really important, sees e-commerce as potentially a pie enlarging value proposition for the company, not just a pie rearranging proposition for the company. Does that make sense?
It does. It's interesting to hear you say, to lead off with meaning and strategic importance rather than cash and personal advancement. I'm assuming the comp and all that needs to be in line, but I find it very, very interesting that the first thing you cite is importance to the organization.
Well, you know, the model that I use with everybody that I hesitate to use this term, but people call me, you know, a coach of sorts in this space. And the model that I use with every candidate is think of your career in terms of the three F's, right? Fun, future, and finance. So, you know, fun is a completely arbitrary and subjective thing. And the financial piece is the only part of this that we can actually quantify. So now we got to really concentrate on the future orientation or the future attractiveness and relevance of the role. And I encourage every candidate that I work with to really get their arms around that and understand whether or not the client that they're interviewing with is sincerely interested in being an online retailer or developing greater customer intimacy using the online channel to support its other channels and also as a standalone, or whether or not they're just talking about it. Because there's a very high full of crap factor among companies that, you know, are streaming into this space.
Great, great perspective. I'm sure you've seen a lot of companies intend to hire great people but botch it. Besides what you just shared with us about the sincerity of their commitment to the channel, what should companies be certain not to do to be sure they don't drive away good folks?
If I could give like one solid tip, it's have a hiring process and keep the process moving. The analogy that I use is at the end of the day, I'm an elephant hunter, right? And I know where the elephants hang out. I know the elephants. I love the elephants. The elephants are awesome. And elephants like to be shot dead or left alone.
And the elephant's the candidate or the company?
Yeah.
The elephant's the candidate.
Yeah, the elephant is the candidate. And they like to be shot dead and bagged or left alone, right? And what they won't abide, Alan, is a 120-day hiring process that's like a big budget movie with a plot that goes nowhere. They don't have the time for it. It's frustrating too, because the other thing you got to consider is that every single executive search is a zero sum game, right? So if I run an executive search for Williams Sonoma is a big client of mine, and I, you know, helped them find a VP of e-commerce last year and have done some director level searches successfully for them in the interim. You know, it's kind of like they've really got to have their act together, and they've got to help the candidates maintain their dignity in the process, because there's only one VP role that they're hiring for, right? And so let's say I source 4 or 5 really great candidates for them, but they're only going to hire one, and that means that everybody else goes home with a t-shirt. Well, that's a problem in my business, because if the people go home with a t-shirt and a bad taste in their mouth, then they're not going to like Williams-Sonoma, and they're probably not going to like me. And so it's absolutely critical that I help people maintain their self-esteem and treat everybody with a tremendous amount of dignity, because everybody's got a lot to offer. Everybody could conceivably solve Williams-Sonoma's online problems in a variety of different ways. It's just a question of which candidate has the relevant skill set and the best chemistry, and who can contribute something lasting and meaningful to Williams-Sonoma's existing management mix. And the candidates that can't quite do that this year need to be treated with dignity so that they can respectfully consider the company for future opportunities.
Good stuff. If a company can't make a hiring decision with internet speed, they may not be moving their business on the line, making online decisions with internet speed as well.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
You see a lot of online retailing. You have a very interesting perspective, having placed senior executives into some of the major firms in the space. And I think a lot of us would concur the economy is tough and might even be worsening before it gets better. If you were asked to give your opinions to leaders of e-commerce companies, what are your suggestions for the rest of the year with the economic storm clouds brewing?
Well, I would say take a good hard look at your business and try and figure out at a high level, right, back of the envelope type stuff, whether or not your business is going to survive, predicated on option A, cross-selling and upselling your current customers, or option B, acquiring new customers, right? So figure out, you know, it's kind of a Sophie's Choice kind of deal there. Pick one of those things to be awesome at, and then try and staff around that, you know, and try and motivate and measure around those things. Because, you know, for instance, I prefer trying to figure out, frankly, how to cross-sell and upsell current customers, just because customer acquisition in this space is getting to be all about search engine. And I talk to a number of different VPs of e-commerce, and they all kind of say that Google is a really cruel mistress, you know, and you can't control it, you know. All you can do is just try and deal with it. And so, you know, my take on this is pick one of those strategies and try and bear down as hard as you can on that artifact and just get great at it.
Great stuff. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Harry. If folks want to find you online, what's the best way to reach you?
Sure. I'm on the internet at www.ecommercerecruiter.com. And I also have a job board. It's www.onlineretailjobs.com.
Again, thanks for your time and all your insight today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. More online at rkgblog.com/interviews.